Well, this evening, I'm going to begin a new series that we're going to be doing for the next few weeks. And it is a series about love stories that Jesus told. I'm calling this story Love Stories, because I want to focus on special parables that Jesus told that focus on the topic of love. And when you go through and look at the parables, there are quite a few that teach us something about this very topic. And so that's what we're going to be doing for the next few weeks, is focusing on the topic of love through these stories that Jesus told. And tonight, I want to begin that with what is probably the most famous of Jesus' parables, and that is the Good Samaritan. I want to talk about the Good Samaritan tonight. And that's a story that is very familiar, that's taught very often. But tonight, I want to look at it in a bigger context. Rather than just focusing on just the verses of that story, I want to look at how that plays out with the surrounding verses in the rest of that chapter. And I think we're going to see it has a much bigger meaning, a much deeper meaning, when we look at it in its bigger context. So that's what I want to look at tonight. Now, the story of the Good Samaritan, it has this focus on separation. When you think about this man here on the side of the road, and he's in need, and then you have this Levite, and he comes by, and he walks on the other side of the road. And there's a separation between the man in need and the religious man who should have been there to help him. And the same thing when you have the priest that walks by, and it says he passed by on the other side of the road. It focuses on this separation between the person who should have been helping and the person who needed the helping. Now, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 10, so you can start turning over there. Luke chapter 10 is where the story is. And when we look at the Good Samaritan story, it's interesting, as you look through Luke chapter 10, you'll see that the Good Samaritan story is immediately followed by the story of Mary and Martha. That familiar story where Martha's upset because Mary isn't helping her serve. And I think there is a similarity between those stories. I think there's some common themes between both of those stories. And so I want to talk a little bit about each of those. Because in the story of Mary and Martha, you again have this separation. Here you have Mary who's listening to Jesus, and then Martha, who's there in the kitchen, and she's working, and she's angry with Mary because she's not helping her. And so again, you have this separation between two people. And so tonight's sermon is titled, What Could Bring Them Together? Looking at Luke chapter 10 and these stories of separation, what is it that could bring these people together? And what we're going to find is the thing that brings them together is going to be the same thing that brings us together. So let's start by reading this story. We're going to start in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25. Let's read this together about the Good Samaritan. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, and saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him, and he bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. So that's our first story. That's the story of the Good Samaritan. Now to look at this, I want to start by establishing the context here. You notice it starts out with this question that the lawyer comes and presents to Jesus. Here we have a lawyer who's an expert in the Jewish law. This would have been this official title, meaning that he spends his time, his job is to study God's word and to teach to other people. So he's very equipped in knowing what God's word says. And yet he comes to Jesus with a question. What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And so Jesus turns it around and says, well, what does the law say? Since he knows the law so well, you should be able to answer this question. And he tells Jesus, well, I see in the law it says that I need to love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength, and all my might. And I need to love my neighbor as myself. Now, those 2 quotations are, he's quoting from Deuteronomy, which is, as Jesus says in another place, the greatest commandment in the entire law, to love the Lord your God. That's the greatest commandment. And then he quotes the 2nd greatest commandment, which is from Leviticus. Now, I want to go back and look at those, because I think reading those in their context is going to help us understand what's going on in this story. So let's start by turning back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, here's Moses instructing the people. And he gives them this command, this great command, to love God. And we're going to start reading in verse 4. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Okay, so what this law was teaching the people is that, first of all, there's one God. It's not this polytheistic thing where there's a whole bunch of different gods that they could serve. He's saying there's one God for them to serve. And all of their focus needs to be on just that one God, was what Moses was trying to show them. And they couldn't be distracted by serving other things, serving their other interests. All of their focus needed to be on God. It was like a marriage where we're married to God, and he doesn't want our love to go to other places. He wants all of our love for himself because it's this commitment, this complete commitment to him. And so it starts out with this total commitment to God, and then he shows how that plays out. You notice the verse 4 started out with, hear, O Israel. We have to listen to him. We have to listen to God. And then as this continued, it talked about thinking about his word, talking about his word. When we're in our house, when we're walking, we're teaching it to people, we're talking about it, we're thinking about it. So this relationship of loving God has so much to do with dwelling on his word. That's where it begins. This relationship has to have this foundation in God's word. So that's what Deuteronomy chapter 6 was teaching. Now let's look at the next passage that this man quotes and try to get a better context here. Leviticus 19. This is the passage about loving our neighbor. Now this one, it's going to be a slightly larger reading. We're going to start back in verse 9. And here in Leviticus are a whole series of laws about how the Jews should treat their neighbors, how they should treat the people around them, the kinds of things they should do for them. And it's going to talk about a whole bunch of different relationships and how they need to act in all of those human relationships. So let's start reading in Leviticus 19, verse 9. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge. Neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare. Neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired worker shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. You shall not, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. But in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people. You shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. That's the context of the passage that this man was quoting. So what do we get from that? In this Leviticus passage, God lists a whole bunch of different relationships. And he's saying, here's how you need to act in all these different relationships. When we're talking about poor people, he talks about being kind to poor people. He talks about, if I'm an employer, I need to be fair with my employees. When I'm around someone who's handicapped, I need to be considerate and kind to that person in their challenges. I need to deal fairly in a court case. He says, it even goes down to the thoughts that I think. He goes into talking about how I need to be careful not to hate my brother in my mind. It kind of reminds us of what Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount. He shows here all these different ways that we need to love and care about the people around us. And what do you get from that? He's not giving us a complete, exhaustive list of every possible relationship we could ever have. But he's laying out enough examples that we can see we need to love people. We need to treat people with kindness. We need to be fair. We need to be considerate. Those kinds of things. That's what it's trying to get across in that passage in Leviticus. It's about our attitude towards the people around us. So that lays the context for the Good Samaritan story. The man quotes these two passages to Jesus, and Jesus says, correct. That's exactly right. Go do that, and you'll live. And that could have been the end of the discussion. But then the man has a very strange question. He asks, well, who is my neighbor? Now, especially after reading that passage in Leviticus, it seems like a strange thing to ask. Why does he want to know who exactly he has to love? It's almost like here he's saying, okay, so I know I need to love people, but I want to know exactly who do I have to love and who do I not have to love. If you can just define it, maybe give me a list of the top five people that I need to show love to in my life. That would be really helpful. If he's thinking in those terms, he's really missed what that Leviticus passage was talking about. But let's explore how Jesus answers this. So here he tells the story of the Good Samaritan. And it's this story, like we said, of separation. He goes through and Jesus tells a story about here's the Levite that walks by on the other side of the road, does not stop to help this poor man that's been beaten. There's also this priest who walks by on the other side of the road, and he too does not help this poor man who's been beaten. And so the question is, what is it that could bring these people together? What was it here that could unite these people? This Levite who had every reason to take care of this man on the side of the road, and yet he chose to walk all the way over here on the other side. What was it that could bring them together? Now the Levite here and the priest, both of them had something in common with the lawyer. They would have had a lot of knowledge. They were very religious, and they would have known the law very, very well. And then we get to the Samaritan, and he doesn't have that kind of knowledge. The Samaritans had the law all twisted up, and they were not following it correctly. They were not worshiping God correctly. And yet, the Samaritan puts these other two men to shame in that he can do what is so right in this situation that these other two completely miss. So what's the difference here? Well, it's in verse 33. Back in Luke chapter 10, in verse 33, Jesus gives us the answer. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. That's the answer. When the Samaritan came up, he had something that the other two did not, and that was compassion. And that's what brought them together. It was that compassion. And so that's what Jesus is trying to show him in this story. Here, these guys had so much knowledge. They knew the law so well, but they completely missed the point of that law. They missed the compassion. That's what the Samaritan had that they didn't have. And it's interesting to see the way that Jesus turns around this question that the man asked. Here the man asked, who is my neighbor? And the idea of, who do I have to help? If you can just define to me, who is it that I have to help? And Jesus turns that around. You'd think Jesus would end it by saying, okay, your neighbor is so-and-so. Maybe your neighbor's everybody, or maybe your neighbor's these people over here, or giving him that kind of a clear picture. Jesus turns the question around, and Jesus responds by saying, in verse 36, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? Jesus turned it around, and instead of focusing the man's attention on who needs to be helped, he focused the attention on how to be a good helper. He turned the question from, who do I have to help, to, how can I be a better neighbor? And that makes all the difference. When you think about, if I'm asking the question of, who do I have to help, that doesn't show a willingness to serve. That shows that, do I have to do it? Jesus turned it around and said, don't ask that question. Ask the question of, what can I do to be a better person towards other people? How can I be more loving in my life? Because if I ask that question, it's going to answer all those other questions. And it's going to answer them in a whole lot better way. And so the answer that he gives to this man, as he asks the lawyer, well, who showed themselves to be a neighbor? And the lawyer responds in verse 37, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. This story has a nice ending in that, to me, it sounds like the lawyer got it. Like he really understood what Jesus was trying to say, and that he pinpointed it. It was the man who showed mercy. He went right back to the compassion. That's the difference here between this man, between the Samaritan and these others, was that he had that mercy and compassion. And so that's what we need to develop today. So let's think about that. How can we develop that compassion in our lives? What can we do to serve each other with compassion? If I have the attitude like the lawyer and I'm thinking, who is it that I have to help? Then I'm going to be thinking, do I have to go visit that person in the hospital? Do I have to write a card this week to that person? Do I have to go out and help this person when my schedule's so busy this week? But if I turn it around and I have the attitude of compassion, then I'm going to see other people's needs, and I'm going to want to help them. And I'm going to be looking around, I'm going to see, oh, that person's in the hospital right now. I need to go see if I can do something for them. And there's someone who, I bet they're feeling lonely right now. Maybe I could write them a card. That's something I could do. Or maybe I could take some more time to help this person so that their lives won't be so difficult. And it's when I turn things around and start looking at things through the eyes of compassion Compassion is going to do three things for us. It's going to help us to see needs that we never saw before. It's just like the Samaritan here. He saw a need, and he saw it for what it was, a genuine need that the others, for some reason, completely overlooked. It's when I develop compassion in my attitude, it's going to put on these glasses to where I suddenly see all of those needs around me that I never saw before, because now I actually care about the people around me. And then secondly, it's going to help me care about those needs, not only seeing them, but genuinely having a concern for those other people's needs. It's going to help me to put myself in somebody else's shoes and think about how they're feeling as they go through that challenge. Help me think about, that could be difficult. You know, if I were there, I'd just be throwing up my hands right now. I wonder what I could do to help them through that. And that's what compassion will do. And then thirdly, it will help me to make sacrifices. You look at that Samaritan, and he made some big sacrifices. Here he was on his way to wherever, we don't know, but he stopped his journey, and he sacrificed his time. And he put a lot of time into bandaging this man up, taking him to an inn, spending time with him there. And then he spends his own money. He sacrifices his money. His money on the supplies to take care of this guy, and then paying the innkeeper and saying, here's some money to let this guy spend the night. Here's some money for any kind of medicine you might need. He's sacrificing and sacrificing and sacrificing to help this stranger with his needs. That's what compassion will do. And one of the things that has amazed me and impressed me with being here at Spring Creek this past year is seeing the way people care about each other. The way that when there's a need, people pull together and help each other out. And that's where, when we have compassion, we can just cultivate that all the more. Where when there's those needs, we see them, we care about them, and we help each other. And as we saw in this story, that brings us together and brings unity. Now, let's look at the bigger context again, and let's see what happens after this story of the Good Samaritan. If we drop down to verse 38, we start having the story of Mary and Martha. So let's read that story and see how it relates to what we've just talked about. Mary and Martha in verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. So here we have a story where that's again a story of separation. One sister is there listening attentively to Jesus. The other sister is working busily to serve. And it's caused this division to where there's this anger between them, because the one serving thinks the other one should be helping her. And so once again, there's this separation. Well, notice this last verse. In verse 42, in verse 43 and 42, the way Jesus responds at the end here, he says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. What does that remind you of that we've just looked at? You're distracted by all these different things, but there's only one thing you need to focus on. It's the essence of the greatest commandment. It's the essence of what we saw in Deuteronomy. Rather than having all these other priorities, we serve one God, and we have all our focus on that one God. And then when you explore that and you see what Deuteronomy said about that, how God was saying there in Deuteronomy, you need to listen to my word. You need to be attentive to hear what I'm saying. And you need to be talking about it when you sit in your house and all these different things that you do. Mary was doing exactly what that first commandment commanded. This idea of listening to God's word and developing that love for God. And she was doing that by sitting at the feet of Jesus. And here was Martha, off busy and distracted with all these other things. And so this story here, just as the Good Samaritan helped us see the second greatest commandment, this story really helps us see the greatest commandment. And so we need to have what Jesus describes here. What is it that will bring us together? What would bring Mary and Martha together? Well, according to what Jesus explains here, we need to have a desire to learn God's message. That's what could bring them together. Here you had Mary was so attentive to listening to God's word. Mary was so distracted. Martha was so distracted with all of these other things. If they both had that common zeal to learn and follow God's message, there wouldn't be the division anymore. And so this story teaches us how to put into practice those very things that is in the greatest commandment, listening to God's word. And so that's what we need to implement in our lives. In this story, you again see those two opposites. It's sort of the opposite extreme of the Good Samaritan. In the Good Samaritan, you had a man who had all this knowledge, and yet he didn't know to serve. He didn't have that compassion to serve. Here in this story, we have the opposite extreme, someone who's out there serving, and yet they don't value the knowledge. And so this shows us the opposite of how we need to counteract this. We need to, in order to have unity and be loving towards each other, we need to have a common desire for God's word. And there's so many ways that that plays out as we learn how to value God's word above anything else, valuing God's truth, serving just God and God alone, and talking about it, meditating on it, when we're in our house, when we're walking around, wherever we are, and finally, humbly sitting and learning at the feet of Jesus as Martha was doing. That's the example, or as Mary was doing, that's the example that we need to follow. Now let's put this all together. When you put these together, what is this showing us a picture of? The end of Luke chapter 10 is showing us a picture of how to love each other and how to love God. It's showing us this picture of what it means to keep the first two commandments, of how to love my neighbor and how to love God. And when we do those things, when we have compassion and when we have a desire to learn and follow God's message, that is what will bring unity. That's what will bind us together. And whatever kinds of disagreements we have and fights we have and all those kinds of things, we can resolve them through these two principles of loving God and loving our neighbor. May we all be more loving and to grow in our love each and every day. We know love because Christ first loved us. And so, if you're not yet a Christian, and you have not yet enjoyed the love of God by becoming a Christian, having your sins forgiven, and becoming a part of His church, then you can do that this evening. Please come forward as we stand and sing.